Station Space, Slashdot Radio.
And we're rolling.
It's kind of odd. You can actually hear...
I'm talking too. And I'm talking
from beyond the grave.
And my name is Kathleen.
Yeah,
excellent.
I say we leave that in.
Oh, that's totally got to stay.
That was like the sound check from before.
Right, that was the sound check from last night.
The ghost of Kathleen lives on.
She haunts us all. Especially me, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are dating her. So.
That's true. good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever time or space you are listening to. This is Geeks in Space. I am Rob Commander Taco Malda.
I'm Jonathan Cowboy Neil Potter.
And I am special guest Chris DeBona.
Yeah, it's not really totally Geeks in Space anymore. It's just sort of like whenever anybody comes to town, we hit the record button.
Yeah, it's sort of like Geeks in Space.
Yeah, there you go. And yes, we know that you guys miss the show. We miss it too. Stop emailing every day and telling us that you miss the show. We miss it too, but until we figure out a nice way for Jeff and Nate to join us in their various time zones, it's just not going to be happening. So deal.
Yeah, because you have to sort of assume a level of organization that maybe doesn't exist, you know?
Right.
You know, instantaneous matter transportation, we've been working on it, but we're just not getting anywhere.
When we get there, though, believe me, we're not going to be doing Geeks in Space anymore. We're going to be, like, instantly transporting ourselves all over the place, and it ain't going to be Holland.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
I wouldn't mind sleeping in Holland yet, but you know.
Well, yeah, Holland's a great place to buy real estate to sleep, but then like you can like transmat to like San Francisco
sure.
to work or Boston to work or something.
Or to like, you know, eat.
Yeah, totally to eat.
Can you imagine if you could teleport in order to get food?
No boo every night.
Oh man. Actually, but you know, imagine how much harder it would be to get reservations.
Yeah, that's true. Then again, you know, maybe it wouldn't be because people would be going to like such major popular hotspots that, you know, all the really good places would kinda die out.
Oh, yeah, actually, that would be interesting to simulate. But
it's kind of like it's kind of like the elevator problem or something.
Well, it's a Slashdot effect, really, for restaurants, you know.
Sure, but if, you know, it's what the internet does, you know. I mean, there's no real reason for everybody to go read NewYorkTimes.com, but, you know, they all kind of do.
Well, it's because most major papers are owned by the same company, and they all suck, but I won't go there.
Yeah, but imagine what you could do, though, because, I mean, rather than, you know, having a restaurant in the middle of downtown San Francisco and, you know, being able to make it the size of a escort,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the whole damn restaurant, you could actually, like, you know, put it in the middle of Montana, you know, and have, like, 3 acres with, like, you know, and make it, like, be really nice.
Yeah, no, I totally...
I mean, there's something to be said for a hole in the wall, but, you know, when we can teleport... Screw that shit.
Yeah, man. Holes in the walls are for losers at that point.
That's right. So, we're broadcasting to you live from Madison Square Gardens. We don't know why.
That's where the presidential debate was or something.
Was it? We postulated that as a theory. However, we were unable to confirm or deny, so we'll just pretend that we're in Madison Square Garden.
Which is right above Penn Station, which is like the best place to catch a train to either Boston or D.C., so I've spent a lot of time there.
You know, I don't know if I've ever ridden in a train.
Really?
Really.
Oh, man, it's great, like, because you got power outlets and everything, so you can
see,
put in your
that'd
laptop.
Be pretty sweet. That'd be pretty sweet. But, you know, a lot of airplanes now, the first class, they have electrical outlets, too. So.
Yeah, the little weirdo thing that you
right. Now, I don't have enough frequent flyer miles to actually, like, be able to upgrade on most airlines.
Only because you don't keep track of them. God knows you fly enough.
Well, last two times I flew, there wasn't even a first class. It was like, you know.
Oh, it's because we're in that 40-seater jet thing, right?
Yeah, but, you know, it's either you're in front with people or in the back with the chickens or something.
Yep.
Chickens. Quack, 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 quack. It's like we're all flying in that airline from Romance in the Stone, you know.
The one
exactly.
from the Muppets, where the Muppets, when they go to London.
Wait, that was a Star Wars theme.
Yeah, that's...
But it was chickens.
Sure, dude, it counts. It counts.
Hey, why don't we have Chris on more often?
So he can cluck for us.
I can cluck and then like have people like call me on it later.
Right.
Dude, you were clucking on Geeks in Space, dork.
That was so cool. I love that show.
That was my favorite episode was the one where Chris clucked.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's really true. So
So let's see. Bootable game CD-ROMs using Linux. Actually, not a bad idea. A lot of people have... it's actually kind of a flashback. I mean...
Big time.
I mean, it's like, remember when you used to, like, I used to have, like, the coolest pinball game, and I totally don't even remember what it was called, but it was, like, it booted, and it had its own operating system, and you booted your pinball game, and this is, like, back on a 286 even.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's totally a flashback thing, but, you know, now, in theory, you know, you can make your game, make it boot, and you don't have to deal with all that other crap. Now, admittedly, you know, there's something to be said about being able to run, you know, the game at the same time, but, you know, under Windows, you don't really want to do that anyway, because you do when you start getting those random herky-jerky freeze-ups anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you try to do things under Windows, you're screwed.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, I'm not saying that Linux is any better, but, you know, there's only three games, so it's not like you can multitask them. You know, it's not quite the same problem. Although, SimCity 3000, I picked it up at ALS, and it freaking doesn't run. I installed the latest version of Debian, and I bought the damn SimCity CD.
It's worth pointing out that you're running, like, what, Woody?
Yeah,
like,
I'm what...
Super unstable Woody, so, like, in Loki's defense, it's not surprising to me that it doesn't run.
Right, well, like, the same morning that I bought the game, I actually broke my entire computer by doing an apt-get update, and somehow it screwed up DBI and MySQL, so that there was no way for Perl to talk to my SQL server, and since I happened to read my email in SQL... that proved to be bad.
Select star from email, where email equals new.
Oh, dude. Right, right.
We can just
right.
all speak in SQL for the rest of the show.
Update table ideas, set stupid equals 1 million, where user ID equals Debona.
Alter speaker, where user ID equals Malda.
Haha,
I own Geeks in Space now.
No, uh-oh.
I've owned you.
Damn, he owns Ordos. Now, the sad part is that how many people are like actually know enough SQL to actually be able to do
that? You know
that?
What's scary? I think of the people who listen to this show,
probably
learn it overnight. SQL is easy. It was designed for, like...
1982.
Oh, man, it's so cake. I mean...
Yeah, well,
we won't go into the whole lesson on how to do SQL, but it really takes like 15 minutes to learn it. So,
and if you learn the first 15 minutes, or if you can actually run a website that serves up to 1.5 million page views a day,
yeah, painfully.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it runs well, but
optimized.
I don't buy this. You know, I'm going to say this. You know, a lot of people say, oh, dash dot, blah, blah, blah. You know, but it's like, you know, you are serving 1.5 million page views a day.
Thank you
know,
you, Chris.
I mean,
thank
that's. Not insignificant. I've just had it with people like, well, you know, blah,
well, and it's actually been pretty funny because, I mean, over the years, we didn't always have, you know, hardware, for example. I mean, you know, so it actually was pretty damn ridiculously optimized towards the end there. It was actually the thing that actually amused me the most is right when we initially made the switch to Andover, one of the first major things is that they wanted us to move over to a new data center. At the time, we were being hosted at Up Networks, and that was cool. But what actually happened was... on the last day, well, okay, for those of you who remember, this place is, you know, about a year and a half ago,
yeah.
Something like that, when we actually made the final transition. It's actually pretty close to, yeah, about a year and a half ago. We made the final transition, and what we actually did was we moved to a dedicated SQL server and three HTTPD boxes from a single box that was serving everything. And the really funny part is that, okay, if you remember, it was goddamn slow.
It was really a bad time.
It was not a good time. I mean, excluding the Alteon, where the load balancer decided that it just wasn't going to load balance. You know, I mean, that was a fun time too. You know, the load
balancer.
Yeah,
that was a short term fun time. We're talking like
about 3 weeks
for like ever.
That was like three. Yeah, but for like 3 months as we were gearing up this whole new system. You know, I was doing everything I could to optimize this code, and the really funny part is that the last day that we were on the old box, we actually served 800,000 pages, and that actually stood as the page view record for like a month, even with all of the new hardware that we had. So, I mean, the optimizations that I had actually, you know, it was slow, but, you know, it wasn't bad. You know, it was how many pages needed to be served, and readers were very patient, and I thank you for that. Now things are much faster.
Yeah.
We're all back from ALS now. It was a good show.
Yeah.
Much more laid back than the typical conference than, say, for example, Linux World.
Which is much, 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 much bigger.
There's a lower schmaltz factor at ALS.
Yeah, and I actually...
it's a technical show, you know. You don't walk around and, you know, there's not, like, booths that are blaring techno music. Well, some guy is, hi, I'm Perky, and I'm going to sell you crap. Ha-ha.
Yeah, Caldera is e-business.
Caldera Linux Systems is e-business. Yeah. And if you yell it loud, we'll throw a T-shirt to you.
Yeah.
No, I actually ended up with, like, three really good shirts. Absolute X had a good shirt with a picture, you know, a parody of an Absolute Linux or an Absolute Vodka ad with it, with a penguin stuck in the bottle. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Some guy gave me a shirt with the DECSS code on it, which
yeah, it was a new one. It
yeah,
was a
new one, not the old copyleft
so
one.
So T-shirts are proliferating like bunny rabbits.
That's all right. Spread the evil. then what else did I get?
Well,
I got
the
a
show. There was a show shirt.
The show shirt was really cool with a cool Penguin Run, a parody of a Chicken Run T-shirt on the back. You know, so I, you know, if you're going for T-shirts, you know, there were three or four really good ones.
Yeah.
And always, you know, some pretty tacky ones. Actually, it's been interesting. Among the most significant changes that I've seen in trade shows is the quality of the T-shirts has generally improved. Ugly T-shirts, you don't see so many of them anymore.
Or, like, single-color T-shirts.
Yeah, or just, you know, really badly designed ones. It's like, you know, they actually had somebody with a grasp of artistic design designed some of these shirts. Like the ALS official shirt, the Chicken Run, the Penguin one.
That was really
well done. And last year their shirt was really good too. It was actually a Star Wars parody.
Yeah,
which was really great. They had like, you know, Eric Raymond and RMS, you know, all dressed up as. Yeah, Ellen Cox I think was Princess Leia. It's pretty damn pimp.
No, I think it wasn't he. Well, you know, I don't remember.
It was way back in the day. It was very cool. Yeah, the ALS shirts. But anyway, it was a good show. It was a fun show. Good seeing a lot of people out there.
It's the nice thing about that show, at least this year, because next year it's going to Oakland, I guess, is it's all attached to the hotel, so you can sort of like stagger from like one thing to the next.
Right.
You go from the hotel
to the movie theater to the bar.
Theater, the arcade.
Notice how he says stagger and not walk.
I mean, walk.
Crawl.
Crawl. Although, you know, I wasn't nearly as. I don't really get drunk, but I guess there was a lot of people who were, so.
I managed to get a hangover the first night.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and it's probably been a year since I had a hangover.
Wow, you're pretty mellow drunk then.
I'm a very laid-back drunk.
I never got hungover, but I'd say I drink a lot more at conferences than what I do normally.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's 2 to 3 drinks a night as opposed to 2 to 3 drinks a week.
It's really strange, you know? It's like, well, it's a social thing, I guess, too.
Well, you know, you're all hanging out in the bar, you know, for another round. Got to fight over whose room the bill's going to get put on.
And the best part is, okay, who's going to go get it? Because we're all, like, really,
yeah, nobody really,
really
cares about
really
paying
lazy.
For the round of drinks. Nobody just wants to stand up. See, and in my case, it's actually not lazy. I am lazy, but I'm not, it's not that. I'm actually scared of bartenders. I don't like talking to strangers. And the sad part is,
I had
I'm
a dream
not
last
kidding.
Night, Dad. A bartender was hitting me. No, stop, stop.
No, it's not even so much bartenders. It's just that I'm scared of people that I don't know, which is why trade shows for me are just really horrible, because they're like, I'm in this little square and people that I don't know come up and talk to me and I'm okay, and then you got
The voices.
Right. The voices. We had a discussion.
And then
about
the bartender tried to give him candy and get him into his car.
Come into my big white van, Rob.
Actually, it's anyone who works around citrus products too much. The problem's afraid of.
You start getting citrus. Now, that's the thing. I don't like talking to strangers. I'm a very quiet, shy person. You know, I tend to stay in my little bubble. The thing is, the only reason that I can handle trade shows is that usually I'm only asked about 7 different questions. So it's just a matter of reciting the script.
And you know, you don't want to read this as Rob hating people or hating the people.
I love people. I just,
you know, when you're at a trade show, everyone is just, I'm not going to say in your face, but it's like they're always, I mean, these are people who you would like, you know, if you just ran into
if
them.
If you
like,
hung out with them in
like
a bar,
really,
you know, it'd be fun.
Sort of thing.
But when you've got 12 of them around you asking you questions,
it's just, it's overstimulation, and it's just, it's hard sometimes.
By the end of the show, you'd literally hear voices, and we had a discussion about this. This is actually a regular thing. It doesn't happen to me. It doesn't happen to me at every show or at every day of every show. But I would say 1 out of 3 days that I spend on a trade show, especially towards the end, I actually go to the bathroom or something in my hotel room, and, you know, you're in a quiet room with the door closed, and I freaking hear voices.
Yeah.
It's like, come in or taco. /Rob/Rob Come in or taco. Emos.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. John Katz. You know, it goes.
John Katz.
It goes, and literally, it's like creepy. It takes me like an hour to just like, all right, silence, mellow. The Ultimate Chair, which is actually a repeat, but the website actually updated. We posted this thing maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. It's crazy. It's not as much a chair as much as it is a cylindrical room.
Yeah, I looked at that and I don't know if I would like it for a workspace. I think it'd be a cool thing, you know, if you had like 5 or 6 of them to use for multiplayer gaming. Somehow that would feel right.
Sure, it'd be pretty cool if you like the Mech Warrior thing, you know,
yeah,
like the pods.
Game Busters, right?
Yeah, see. That's the thing about this thing is that, you know, I could totally consider working on it, except that you need, like, a whole room to put it in. But it's, you know, it, like, the chair rotates, and it's got room for multiple heads for your screen, and it's, like, climate controlled.
You know, I'm gonna be the sole voice of dissension here. Well, maybe not the sole, but it's, like, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I live in a cube already, and it can be kind of sucky. And this is just, like, cubes times 10.
Well, it's a cube in a cylinder.
Yeah.
Instead of your cubicle, it's your cylinder.
And I'm not saying, actually, it's weird. As the company's grown, I've become more claustrophobic. I still don't understand why. And this just like, I look at this and go, well, I'm not so sure about this
one. Well, it'd be different, you know, if they encased the whole thing in aluminum. Like this gigantic.
Or marshmallows.
I mean, there's a shield there. I mean, you know, but it's kind of invisible.
I've got a shield. You can't get me.
But the thing is that, you know, I would, I can imagine if we got one of those for Potter, he would eventually, you know, create like an electrified fence, highly equipped defense mechanisms.
Guard dogs. Definitely guard
arrow
dogs.
Arrow slits. Yep. But yeah.
None shall pass.
The thing,
what
this
is
thing,
your
color? Did you see the Onion article about man going to use Monty Python quotes to impress
that
woman?
That was so funny.
That was great. Perhaps I shall recite to her the entire Knights-Who-Say-Knee sequence and she will be impressed by my wit. What other man in this bar would be able to play back for you from memory the entire witch scene? Oh, my God.
It's a fair cop.
That's a fair cop. Oh, man.
Unfortunately, we're all part of that target audience.
No kidding. Life is video game art.
Oh, yeah. This was super creepy.
That was crazy. Like the Alien one?
Yep.
And like
well,
the,
hold on. Let's explain what it is. Okay. What these guys did, some artists, and this has been actually floating around for a while, and Salon finally picked it up. What did you're familiar with the standard isometric, you know, you're looking down the Diablo style at the angle, looking
Sims,
at the, yes, the
know.
Sims, that whole genre of games. I mean, half the games now, they're either first person or isometric. That's just practically all games now.
Yeah.
But this guy, he's been making art, you know, with famous scenes from modern times as if they're being seen through an isometric view video game.
Yeah.
Things like Elian Gonzalez, the closing sequence to that whole thing, or Princess Diana as
oh.
Oh,
yeah, the wreck. And
I mean, pretty dang intimidating.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out the story, I mean, the servers have probably slowed down enough that you can.
Yeah.
So you could, I would check it out. It's just, it's. I'm not going to call it profound because I don't want
to. That might be a little pretentious,
but it's something.
It's weird. It's weird to take these events and see them abstracted, you know, in such a different way.
Yeah.
Except for the one in Tiananmen Square, which looks amazingly like the original.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But, except for the colors aren't real.
Yeah.
You know,
they threw up the contrast a little.
Yeah.
It's scary because, you know, I look at it and I'm like, oh, look, it's the Rodney King video game.
Actually, that's the original Denny.
I don't know if I should buy this one.
It's got original Denny and Rodney. It's wild.
What is Namco trying to sell me now?
Oh, really? The one that I thought was the best being an appropriate word to describe it is the Vietnam shot of the gal who's naked running down. She's got this amazing look of anguish on her face. They've got that, but they've got that sort of like from behind. It shows the soldiers she's running away from in horror, and it's an amazing one. I mean, there's no other word for it. So
yeah, it's definitely impressive stuff,
especially if you have any appreciation of history whatsoever. So.
Nah, see, I failed history. That's a whole different problem. But
it doesn't go back too far, though.
Right, I know. This is a lot of this stuff is practically seeped into popular culture, which means it might have actually touched into me. Oh, good. We're back.
All right.
See, you don't know anything about this, but we just experienced technical difficulties. You see, we have a 40 gig hard drive. 40 gig hard drive filled up. So we just spent some quality time reclaiming a few gigs of disk space so that we could complete the recording of the show. Aren't you happy?
And also, my foot and now lower leg has gone numb for no apparent reason.
We also had a nice discussion about the usability of the Mac OS, as Potter proved that drag and drop is not very efficient.
Yeah, unfortunately, there aren't any like really high-end recording tools under Linux that tie into external DDA devices, and so it's like we have to use the Mac, and so Potter was just like enjoying a carpal tunnel moment.
Whee! Plus, we have one of the super cool ultra-round mice, you know, which are completely impossible for any human being to use.
It's like a horse suppository.
Oh, God.
Nope.
Ew. Sony. We were discussing that when we ran out of disk space.
Yeah.
Let's see. They've released several laptops, or they've announced or pre-announced a variety of laptops. And for those of you who don't know, and you do know because you listen to Geeks in Space and you hear us bitch about our hard drives all the time, here at Slashdot, we've gone through a few VIOS.
A few. few meaning 10, you know?
Meaning that, of the first batch, I believe 80% of them have gone back to Sony for one thing or another.
Yeah.
Dead hard drives, dead keyboards, dead screens.
And mine still works. Woo!
And it's not like, these guys are hard on their laptops, but they're laptops, you know? They have to be designed for that kind of activity, you know?
See, I figure any laptop that I have has got a 10 to 12-month lifespan, and not just because by then the hardware will be obsolete, but because when you use your laptop for 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, it's going to break.
Yeah, pretty much.
So anyway, the VAIO stuff, they've released a bunch of them. Well, one of them, it looks like barf.
That was a great title.
Yeah, I was very pleased. It was the first time I ever got to use the word barf on Slashdot. So if you actually want to find this story, you can find it very easily by merely searching for
barf.
It basically is, it's like they took all of the neat, well, not all of, but the very few good ideas from the iMac clam, and sort of combined that with barf.
Yeah.
It's like black with this weird white border and this really shitty looking handle.
It's really, really, really lame. And in fact, it's like, you know, you say what you will about the iBook. It's like, frankly, I hate the iBook because it represents a lot of wasted, like, plastic and weight for me. But it's like, you know, there's some nice things about it.
I mean,
it is pretty, you know, say what you will. It is well designed.
It's not the black laptop.
You know, and so Sony took it and they squared off the corners and made it black. And I'm like,
and put a handle on it,
you know?
And, like, added this really horrible white border.
Yeah, it's just like, what are you thinking? That said, the one with the camera, I think is pretty badass.
Right, and they've got this other one. It's actually Transmeta powered. They've actually announced several Transmeta related laptops. Actually, a slight tangent, but not much of one. Hopefully, in the next few days, some friends actually have. They claim that they can get Linux working on one of these Transmeta, but the PictureBooks.
Oh, right.
And they also claim that the Transmeta PictureBook is actually virtually identical to the Intel PictureBook, which means that by putting Linux on them and doing something for battery testing, they should actually be able to find an actual fair comparison of how more efficient the Transmeta stuff is at the power management. Well, you know, without, like, having any bullshit or hype or anything, just, you know, all right, we're going to both fucking surf web pages for two hours and see how long it actually lasts.
And the cool thing about that also is, you know, we'll know exactly what the chip will do for you, you know, independent of the
is it slower,
display,
is it faster,
the
is
memory,
the power going to be better? And that'll be really cool, because I really dig, you guys both have those little VAIO picture books, and I totally dig those things, but, you know, maybe a Transmeta one is the way for me to go.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, you know, putting Debian on it might be a little bit of a problem, because
Power's running Debian.
Oh, right, yeah. But will it work with, will the emulation be such that I will be able to emulate the AX86 binaries?
Well, assuming they didn't change anything else, and that is an assumption, it should work fine. Yep. You know?
That's the theory. But yeah, the other camera, I say that because it actually is a camera, they mounted this gigantic video camera on the side.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite impressive. It's all purpley, and, you know, it's actually, you know, well-designed. I mean, that's the thing about Sony is that, I don't know who their designers are, but run down some of their hardware a minute. Okay, the Sony TiVo, the iBo, the VAIOs, even like the VAIO desktop machines, Sony has a long tradition, the PlayStation, that has a long tradition of designing nice-looking components.
Yep.
Except for, you know, once in a while
like
they
the
throw
music
something that looks like
I
barf.
Hate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the iPen thing or whatever that plays the sound with the music stick.
Even like the behind the head headphones that they have.
Yep, the headphones are really nice.
Well, were they the first ones to do that? I think they were.
As far as I know, yes.
Yeah, they ain't. And then they apparently, maybe it was trainee day. You know, look, dude, look, we need a new laptop. Quick, design us a laptop. I'm the janitor. You know, I sweep and mop.
But
we
Tom
need a laptop now.
Is busy.
Well, I've got this black piece of cardboard. Yeah. So, yeah, and anyway, they've got this camera thing, which is like a video camera. And the thing about it is like, even the picture books now, they're coming with, like, 10 to 12 gig hard drives, and you can get the little IBM and the little tiny, you know, 2-inch laptop hard drives now. They're getting, you know, they're up to the 10 and 20 gigs now.
It's out of hand.
So, I mean, relative to actually using, say, an actual digital camera, where, you know, you're so excited. My digital camera's 128 megs, okay? For still frames, that's a lot, okay? I can put, like, 400 still frames on that. Now, for video, I mean, yeah, you can get, like, one of those 1 gig little mini hard drives that go in the compact flash slots. But, you know, a gig, real time, you know, most of the time when you're actually recording video, you're not actually recording it in a nice compressed format. So you're consuming space like nobody's business. So even a gig ain't enough.
And I'd like to point... I'd like to speak against compression for a minute. It's like, okay, compression's nice and stuff, but capturing the full amount of information and then applying the compression is better, because then you can tailor the compression properly. And I've had it, I tell you, with these compression methods that just willy-nilly, like, okay, so the DVD, if we used, like, the double-layer technology, we could put an image on there exactly pure. I still see artifacts, I'm still pissed off about this, so that's my rant.
Yeah, it actually gets worse when you color-correct your TV.
Yeah, I saw it on yours. Mm-hmm. Eek.
I actually color-corrected my TV, and it's made... I'm tempted to, like, go and uncolor-correct it, because you, like, you'll see all these little pixelations and stuff that you just never noticed before, especially with anime and stuff.
Yeah, it's very Wing Commander in its way.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
right.
Not the movie, but the old video game.
So speaking of anime, recently on the docket, I've acquired Slayers, which is... Pottery, if it could speak well for Slayers. We put him through a few discs worth of it.
Slayers was cool.
Slayers is pretty out there. It's
you
sort
just
of
have to
like,
keep telling yourself that she's 18.
She's 18. She says she's 15, but if you pretend that she's 18, then it makes the whole show
a lot
better.
Is this like one of those tentacle animes?
Oh, it's totally not a tentacle anime.
Okay, good.
That would be like La Blue Girl.
Oh,
and,
my God. That stuff is scary as hell.
That's right.
But that didn't... Oh,
that's a whole genre. That's a whole genre. We respect that genre.
Well,
we just don't necessarily need to watch it all that much.
That's hentai. We enjoy
hentai?
Anime.
Yeah, see, hentai. I'm like very much the newbie when it comes to anime. I don't really... I'm way too distracted by the ridiculous voices before... because and I can't...
And you could watch
it
in Japanese and watch
and
the subtitles.
That's probably like the best bet if I'm going to get into it.
Right, and a lot of times I do that with like Blue Submarine number 6.
Yeah.
That's one that you essentially have to watch the Japanese because the dubbing is really bad, and also the actual audio track is this gorgeous 5.1 Dolby Digital surround.
Really?
It's so awesome. It's this sub thing, and the surround sound effects in that are just absolutely amazing. I've got the last disc on it, and it's when I was in ALS, a bunch of discs arrived, including the new Trigun, the new Cowboy Bebop. But I'm really excited to watch the conclusion of the Blue Submarine series. But the Dolby Digital 5.1 surround is so pretty. It's just like, ooh, I'm underwater, and there's subs flying around. Oh, and there's a torpedo just whizzed past my head. It's very cool. Can we have a ping, Chris?
Ping.
Thank you.
That
yeah.
didn't sound very good.
But Slayers has been on the docket, and I was pretty surprised. Potter and I are interesting because we represent somewhat divergent tastes within the anime world. I tend to be more into, say, Tenchi or Slayers, you know, more of the battle athletes, the comedy stuff, you know, the sitcom-y.
The more insane, the
right,
better.
Right. Ideally, there's an alien girl coming to the planet Earth to fall in love with the healthy young boy. For some reason, that genre appeals to me. If you are extraterrestrial and hot, you can read that as a sign that you should drop in and pay me a little visit.
However, if you're a transsexual panda.
Yeah, then that's the thing, you know, like, but they really whack this stuff out, you know, because, like, Ranma's a good example, you know. You mentioned
so
the panda.
Whack.
I mean, whenever the characters get wet, they transform. Ranma turns into a girl. Her father turns into a panda. I mean, you know, I'm all for wacky and all, but that's pretty damn out there.
You know, I gotta give Ranma credit, though. It's pretty freaking wacky. I mean, it's like, because I'll be honest with you.
Stay out of Shampoo's hair, Ranma!
But it's like, you know, you watch, for me anyways, it's like some anime is so far out there, because I'm really new to it, so I don't know what to expect, maybe. But I'm just like, I'm almost like obsessing on like how ridiculous it is. And then like Ranma is just so over the top ridiculous that it's enjoyable just by that. So I don't know.
There's a lot of other stuff, too. I mean, that's the thing is, there's a lot of genres in there. And yeah. Potter tends to get a little bit more into the more serious stuff. You know, I mean, Lane being probably the primo example of that. I like Lane,
yeah.
too. Lane
so
is
if you're hot and computer generate, oh.
if you are, you know, the seventh generation protocol and from the Wired, Potter wants you to hook up with him.
Now, not to be confused with From Wired Magazine.
Right, that's very different. The Wired versus Wired. Pause. The 7-second pause.
Oh, also, female bounty hunters are okay, too.
You mean Faye?
Yeah.
You're a big fan of Faye? That's there's a lot of that whole genre. Actually, I just saw The Castle of Cagliostro, which is actually a total different genre. It's actually got a lot of similarities to Cowboy Bebop as far as who the characters are. But it's actually more of like an epic storytelling kind of thing, you know, a Spielberg caliber, you know. Here's the big story.
Are there midgets? Because Spielberg has a lot of midgets, you know.
No, I don't remember any midgets. Lucas? Lucas likes midgets, but I mean, that's a whole different problem.
Small furry woodland creatures.
I mean, what was it, Willow?
Yeah.
And that with the little dude, wasn't the dude there R2-D2? Or no, he was an Ewok. It was,
you know, I know that he showed up in the episode
Yeah, he was in episode one.
As, like, Jabba's little friend.
No, he was, like, the lead Ewok. What's his name? I feel so stupid. The thing is that I know that now...
Trivia is really
right. No, it's totally not trivia is the thing. This is, like, common knowledge. This is pretty high up there. And now I know that I'm going to get, like, 1,000 emails
That's
from people
saying...
That's okay, though. It's that
taco ad.
Because then we'll know.
Like, everyone going to the IMDb, must find Willow.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is that, crap, I totally can't remember his name. But yeah, he's actually the first Ewok, or the main Ewok in the original. He made a cameo in The Phantom Menace, and he's actually like a regular for George Lucas movies, I guess.
And he was probably in Over the Rainbow or whatever.
Yeah, he was actually...
Was that a George Lucas movie?
No,
THX. THX 1138.
You know, that was a... American Graffiti. I've seen that movie. A lot of people haven't. It's actually not horrible, you know?
You know what actually is a surprisingly good movie is Radioland Murders.
Really?
He actually wrote it. He didn't direct it, thank God. But it's actually like, it's a really...
It would have had a lot of midgets if he had directed it.
Had some midgets. Actually, it had midgets, but it was... It was kind of like this wacky, it basically is like a 30s radio drama and what's happening behind it. It's got Christopher Lloyd in it.
Really?
And it's got actually the whole cast.
Jump, man.
Yeah, the whole cast is really like, you know, you look at it and you're like, you'll recognize the vast majority of the cast. They're mostly character actors. They're not like famous people, you know, but like Christopher Lloyd probably being among the more famous ones. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in that. You're just like, wow, you know, you're in this movie too. And it's like this, you know, maybe it won't appeal to everybody, but it's a wacky little adventure movie, like a comedy thing where, you know, all this mishap is happening and they think their radio station is haunted all the while they're making this live radio drama.
Like
so,
now.
You know, whatever. Yeah, well, except we're on tape. Or yeah. On disc.
Yes, but we're recording live.
Right, that's true. But I mean, they're actually broadcasting live, so it's just all crazy how it all interacts and how they're trying to keep the show going on and how there's actual murders and stuff happening. It's actually a surprisingly entertaining movie. The one thing that's the trivia side about that that's interesting is that huge amounts of it was actually done on, like, basically with blue screens.
Huh.
And it's actually, it's like that, and then what was the George Lucas, the Indiana Jones Chronicles? The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
Oh, yeah, Young Indiana Jones.
Right.
That was fun.
Basically, the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles and this are like the two places where all the technology that was actually used to make Phantom Menace, basically, you know, the fact that there's not a lot of sets, you know, that a lot of the stuff is totally just fake and they're all they're superimposed within computers. This is one of the major spots where they actually tested all this technology before they actually got to that point. You know, it was one of those getting ready for it, we know it's coming, you know, kind of movies. And it's kind of interesting from that perspective. And in a lot of shots, it's really bad and you can just see it. It's really amusing, actually.
I think we should also point out that we're not against midgets. We're against George Lucas's use of midgets.
No, I'm not against it. Ideally, I wish he'd throw them more. And that's one thing that you don't really see enough of in film or in TV.
Dwarf wrestling?
Yeah, I like to see dwarfs wrestling or being thrown or wearing costumes of little furry animals.
I'm just going to apologize now for the next 10 minutes. I'm sorry.
Well, it's Kurt's fault.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Kurt's got a lot of problems. That's Kurt at thepope.org.
Sorry.
Kurt at thepope.org, he hates midgets.
We should all... Okay, everyone email Kurt at thepope.org
and
say you shouldn't hate midgets.
It's ever since Steve, which was the midget that he was dating back, like, I don't know when this was. This was like...
Kurt
like,
dated a midget named Steve.
Yeah. This was like... He was like in 11th...
He was French, though, so his name was Etienne.
He was in, I don't know, like 10th or 11th grade or something.
It was during the Pope's experimental period.
Etienne, the French midget.
Right. I mean, Steve was a nice guy and all, but I mean, like, okay, you haven't been screwed over. I mean, it's one thing if, you know, you break up with someone and it goes rockily, but it's another thing when you break up rockily and it's because the guy's a midget, you know? And when your boyfriend is a midget, that really hurts a guy.
I didn't know that Kurt was gay.
It's because I'm a midget, is it?
Well, according to anybody emailing Kurt at thepope.org, not only is he gay, but he likes midgets.
Yes, he's into gay midgets named Steve from France.
Steve, the French gay midget.
The French tossing midget.
It is Kurt's love hour.
Oh,
this moment of child initiation brought to you by... No, all right.
So, yeah, there's no product placement this episode. It's tragic.
Mackie.
Yeah, but that, you know, it's hard to sponsor. Actually, I think Mackie should we're plugging Mackie, and we'll plug Pro Tools, and maybe one of them will contact us for sponsorship, because, like, Bonner was telling me that DJ Cuber is, like, totally sponsored by Pro Tools now. So, you know, That's
this show
cool.
brought to you in part by Pro Tools and Mackie.
I mean, because what I really would like, you know, is if they could hook us up with maybe like a 16-track sampler.
Or better yet, a Linux-enabled 16-track.
They'll totally never do that. They're in bed with Pro Tools. The Pro Tools
well, Pro
thing
Tools should port.
Have you seen the plugins and what they charge for their plugins? And you're talking like $700 for basic matrix math.
Talk about
you know, that. I mean, it makes Photoshop's plugin market look like a bargain, and Photoshop's plugin market is pretty dang expensive.
Ain't no bargain.
But yeah, if Mackie is listening, or the creators of much of the fine equipment that we use, the Pro Tools, the DigiDesign 888IO is what we're actually using. We would love it if you guys wanted to sponsor us and like hook us up with a 16-track instead of an 8-track, because it turns out that my guitar preamp is stereo, and it turns out that Kurt's keyboards are stereo, and it turns out that Potter actually can talk in stereo.
Stereo
sound. And what the weird thing about that is that if you only have 8 tracks and you have 4 things in stereo, you're gone. So we need a 16-track recorder in order for us to make more noise.
So that's enough shilling for today.
Yeah. Also, if you're not Mackie or Pro Tools and you're some other company who wants to give us stuff like, say, I don't know, Technics, Vestax, or Shure.
Potter's turntable.
I don't know what they make, but if they would want to give us anything.
Score it, baby. Score it. Well, you've also got your Invisible Scratch Pickles scratch pads or your slip mats.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, slip mats are important, man. You know,
they're critical.
You have
Potter.
To have good slip mats.
Man, bad slip mats means a bad DJ.
Yeah, and, you know, actually, you know, we should, one of these days we'll have Potter do the intro theme music. Speaking of which, we should cue the music, Mr. Potter.
All right.
So that we can, you know, like roll this out. Potter's actually getting surprisingly good, and hopefully maybe the next time we do this we can have him lead us in with some nice scratches.
Yes, yeah, scratchy seal.
Scratchy seal. Lordy, lordy. Well, thanks for listening to Geeks in Space. It's been another exciting episode, no doubt. Another post-apocalyptic addendum episode coming to you live from Madison Square Gardens on tape.
And I guess Jeff will be here in a couple weeks.
Yep, Bates, Mr. Homos is returning from... Well, first of all, he wants to visit Kurt and Steve. All
right.
And also, he wants to record an episode of Geeks in Space. He's going to be here middle of November. So we're talking about, you know, another... It's going to be 3 or 4 weeks before there's another episode up. But we'll see you then. In the meantime, make sure to fulfill your homework. Kurt's, you know, he's on the emotional rocks.
Yeah.
And DigiDesign, Pro Tools, give us a call.
Yep.
We love you guys.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.